You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Are you Rickrolling us?
Heck yeah.
On this Thursday?
Not only is he Rickrolling Kansas City, but all of our international guests.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
You all are welcome. It's an amazing song.
I think our Canadian friends would know who Rick Astley was.
You know, certainly.
Maybe.
Is he from Canada?
I think he's a Canadian, isn't he?
I mean, I think our European friends would know that song, too.
Do they call it Rickrolled over there?
I mean, if I just want to tell you how I'm feeling and I want to make you understand, that applies everywhere.
Let me tell you this. He laughs about it. They have interviewed him, and they're like, do you feel bad or whatever that you've kind of become this pejorative or, you know.
He leans into it.
He's like, I think it's great.
No, he's from England.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's English. Good. He's 60 years old.
60.
And I think he had more hits in Europe than he did in the United States, because here he really only had one or two hits.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think you'd be surprised. I think it was more than that. I really do. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. A couple of stories to pass along. We are not looking to make these a topic. And if you are just tuning in, it is 4:07 p.m. on June 25th. Today is my father's birthday, and they have also shut the gates at FanFest because of the lightning. If you're listening on podcast, I will repeat that. June 25th, 4:07 p.m. We are monitoring whether or not that will reopen today ahead of the match at 6 p.m. between Tunisia and our orange friends, the Dutch, and the team for Netherlands. And Brian Busby said earlier, like, it might be delayed. They've got an 8-mile lightning roll.
We were also getting reports last hour from folks who were out at Kansas City Stadium already, and they were getting a shelter-in-place order as there was lightning within an 8-mile radius of Kansas City Stadium.
And
at least we had really good weather for the fan walk.
It was the best thing ever.
Dan, you're living your best life with all this stuff.
I am.
You really are.
Dan.
I'm trying to. I mean, this is almost bucket list type stuff.
If you missed it earlier, you guys, we had a listener call in, and she said, quote, there will never be another experience like this in Kansas City. She was down there, and if you have not seen the aerial photos of the orange downtown, it looks like 10 million people all wearing orange in one spot, just spreading joy. They are dancing, they are singing, and she was down there. Dan was down there, and she said, we might have other sporting events. We're never going to see anything like this ever again, so that if you can participate in any way, even popping down to FanFest tomorrow or whenever, she said, please do it. She even said, Dan, on the way here, she came in from the Northland, and she started passing people who were walking to get downtown, and she just stopped her car and said, get in, let's go, I'll take you. She said she ended up with like 10 strangers from the Netherlands wearing orange in her car.
Yeah, get in, we're going to the World Cup.
Yeah, now I wouldn't probably pick up hitchhikers, you know, tonight on I-70, you know, but this was a lovely once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Kansas City, we may get a Super Bowl in the coming years. We may get a Final Four. We may get all that kind of stuff. But this was such a unique thing to ever have happened here.
It's really cool.
This day, the day of the Dutch.
Really, really cool. Okay, listen to this. I love me some good television gossip. Fired, quote, ray of sunshine meteorologist says her bosses monitored her conversations with her weatherman mentor. A young Indiana meteorologist who said she was abruptly fired by her television station is now accusing management of monitoring her conversations with her mentor, restricting her social media activity, and escorting her out of the building after trying to pressure her into resigning. Alex Kirkhove, the former WTWO meteorologist whose emotional farewell post earlier this month drew an outpouring of support from viewers, returned to Facebook on Wednesday with a lengthy account detailing what she described as a hostile work environment. She says, and I quote, it's been over 2 weeks since I was let go by station management, and I believe now, since the dust has settled, I would like to share my story and what happened. Among her most striking allegations, Kirkhove claimed, station managers tried to limit her interactions with veteran chief meteorologist Jesse Walker, whom she previously described as her mentor. I was told, she said, Oh, God, Dan, listen to this. I was told I could only talk to Jesse Walker when we were working for 15 minutes, and they said they watched the security cameras.
Wait, what?
I'm going to repeat that. I was told I could only talk to our chief meteorologist when we were working for 15 minutes, and they said we watched the security cameras.
Don't even look in his eyes.
Don't make
eye contact.
Do not look the chief meteorologist in the eyes. Look, I don't know what happened here. Do they have the right to monitor you at work and surveil you at work? Yes. We have surveillance cameras all over the building. But at the point that you are directing someone to watch the time limit on their conversations with a superior, does that not seem a little weird?
We're going to have to check the videotape.
Can you imagine if we said to Sam when he first started, now, whatever you do, don't talk to Scott Parks. He likes to be left alone. Do not look him directly in the eye. Just don't.
I mean, good advice.
Sam's but like, still, how do you know that didn't happen?
I mean, he kind of gave off that energy himself. I'm just kidding. Was she communicating with her mentor via work? Established communications?
I don't know, Sam.
Well, my point being is it's not shocking in any way, shape, or form that they were monitoring that. They monitor everything that you do on work computers. I could go into my own personal bank account, my personal email. I could pull up personal medical portal information.
And they could look at it.
And they have a right to look at it because it's their device, not mine.
But doesn't that seem petty? That, like, we're monitoring your conversations. That's just creepy.
It's almost like a violation of a unwritten, unspoken honor code.
Yes. Good Lord.
You just have to know. You have to know these things before you start. What?
Yeah, but if the management came to you, Sam, here, and they would never do this, but if Roxanne came to you and said, hey, I just want to let you know, we're surveilling you. And we would prefer that you not talk to Dan Weinbaum outside of 9 minutes every afternoon when you first walk in. You don't think that would be extraordinarily bizarre?
I'm with the text line here. I think we're missing a lot of details in this story.
Maybe.
She's trying to smear her company, trying to make it, oh, I'm the victim. What was really going on? What did you have with your mentor, lady? Why are you so mad about that?
Sam, I'm telling you, something stinks here, but I don't know that it's on her.
They hurt my feelings.
I'm gonna stand up for her because I have worked for management in television news over the years that's great. And I have worked for management over television 20 some years that was absolutely horrifyingly awful. So we're going to wait. We're going to wait and see. I'm sure there are more details that will come out.
Speaking of horrible stories regarding people in the media, have you seen the update from Diane Rossini?
What does she say?
The longtime NFL reporter who
she
was
got
known
canned too.
For her interviews with head coaches who was then found to allegedly, they've never really confirmed it, but we have enough pictures of them kissing and doing things, having an extramarital affair with Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the Patriots. A report came out now because, of course, she got fired after her entire journalistic integrity went out the window because you can't be sleeping with somebody you're interviewing on a regular basis, allegedly. She regularly used her connection to NFL head coaches to get out of speeding tickets.
That's what that headline was about.
She would get pulled over no matter where she was, which according to the stories that I read,
was frequent.
It sounded like it happened all the time. She'd get pulled over in the rental. She'd ask the officer, hey, who's your favorite team? I'm a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. She would FaceTime Andy Reid.
Stop it.
And say, hey, you want to talk to the officer?
Stop it.
And they would typically answer because she had such a good connection with these coaches because she was so good at her job and apparently sleeping with one of these coaches, and she would get out of tickets because of it.
Okay, you cannot use your influence or your business card to get out of a speeding ticket. I'm sorry.
So
that's bad.
Who's your favorite NFL team?
That's bad. When we get back, I'm going to ask, do you have a toxic coworker? That's in our stack today. And how is the best way for any of us really to deal with grief? And maybe for you, the answer is counseling. Maybe for you, the answer is substances, right? Maybe for you, the answer is something that most of us had never heard about before. And does this work for grief? We're going to talk about it. It's a very interesting theory. We're going to talk about that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. What a great song. Oh, looking at the weather now, Neville Miller is up here in the studio. It looks like 80% chance of rain at 5, at 6, and the map's got a whole lot of angry red and yellow and green things just to our north and west. Looks like heading this way. So
basically, it's going to start raining and probably not stop raining until tomorrow. Again, the question is whether or not there is lightning accompanying that rain.
Yeah, and we will keep you posted. At very least, looking at possible delay with that first match if lightning accompanies these thunderstorms. But we'll keep you posted. They'll just postpone it. They'll wait. They'll do what they do. FIFA's got this figured out.
They will get
not the first time it's been raining during a soccer game. So I love this next story because when it comes to grief, grief is one of those emotions that I tend to push away, because it is wrapped up in all kinds of other emotions that I don't like bad feelings and
anger, sadness.
And sadness and conflict. And I have been a runner from those things. I'm going to go with my entire life. Since I was little, I've been a runner. And I know that. I've had therapists tell me, lean in to the anger, lean into the grief. And I'm like,
feel your feelings.
I don't want to do that. I want to run away. So listen to this. There is a new workout class that promises to help. I don't think it's going to cure it, but help with your grief, sort of in the way that for some of you, boxing has helped with anger. You've heard this, like get a punching bag out, you go to a boxing class.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You get some rage out onto the boxing bag, right?
Uh-huh.
Will it work for grief? Listen to this. It is an exclusive club no one wants to be a member of. That is how several people explained why they were attending the Grief, Sweat, and Tears event this spring, at which about 25 men and women met up for a doubleheader bar and spin class mixed with a lot of sobbing. Everyone gathered in the lobby to chat afterwards, sweaty and smiling. Conversations flowed as naturally as it would at a bar, but death and grief were the main topics, with people trading stories about their lost loved ones. It is obviously something that people are not naturally inclined to discuss, quoting here from Margot Lichtenthal, a past Grief, Sweat, and Tears attendee who lost her father to suicide. But when you're talking about it with somebody who can genuinely understand what you have been through, it's a whole different story. After losing her dad in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, she found emotional relief through Pilates. But she was still feeling isolated because it's not like you're chatting it up at Pilates, right? She attended support groups, and then a cousin introduced her to Grief, Sweat, and Tears. She admitted that although a group fitness class centered on bereavement sounded a little wonky, she felt compelled to try it. She said, working out was such an outlet for me when everything happened that it felt like the perfect combination. The event starts with a workout to help alleviate the physical symptoms of grief, followed by social time for attendees to meet others going through similar experiences. And I'm going to look up real quick the physical symptoms of grief. And I'm guessing it is exhaustion. Yep. Extreme fatigue, digestive issues, a tight feeling in your chest or throat, headaches, changes in appetite, muscle aches, and a weakened immune system that makes you prone to illness. And it's because your fight or flight is like going off the rails.
I was just about to say that. The reason for that is because the two hormones that trigger the most during grief are cortisol and adrenaline.
Yep.
Your stress hormones.
I hate those. I'm made of them. And that's probably why I don't like those emotions and feelings and thinking about them. I hate the cortisol feeling. But they say when you go through a loss, and you get into a room full of other people, whether that's therapy or working out or whatever, who can really understand what it is you're going through, it for these participants helped. And it was a 29-year-old who came up with the idea, by the way. 29-year-old Betsy Kaplan lost her father, Joel, in 2018. Attending therapy left her with pent-up energy and tension and an urge to blow it off through exercise. Quoting here from Betsy, talk therapy is amazing and I swear by it. But at the same time, movement in conjunction with getting out your emotions takes the cake. And there's some scientific evidence that exercise can be an effective tool for managing emotions associated with grief.
Oh, there's tons of evidence.
Taking those pent-up feelings, and letting them out. This is where we saw the, and I think there was even one in Kansas City, like Smash KC, and this was more about anger, but could also work for grief, where you could go in and literally pay to take a hammer and just break stuff.
Well, and it's not the action of breaking stuff that makes you feel good at those types of places. It's the physical exertion required to break stuff that regulates your blood flow. It regulates your hormones. It takes you out of that sense of panic and makes you focus on something else, which is why physical fitness, working out, cycling classes are so good for getting you out of that headspace. I feel kind of icky that they're charging for it, though.
Well, they started out with it's discounted, and there is some percentage of the proceeds that go to grief therapy services
or
something.
That makes it better. Okay.
That's better.
I was going to say, I thought they were just capitalizing on people's sadness, and I'm like, guys,
get on in here. $250, please. listen to Jenna Deem Napoleon. Maybe your family is like this. I come from an Italian family, the 29-year-old said. You don't talk about your feelings. You don't go to therapy. Everyone loses people. You just figure it out. But after she started talking about grief on social media, an old friend invited her to the grief, sweat, and tears class. And despite her initial skepticism, she was hooked. She says there is something so special about connecting with people who have gone through similar situations. Now, she says, you never want to be part of this club. But I wish I had gone sooner. What do you think, Sam?
Oh, I most certainly use physical fitness as my therapist, probably more often than I'd like to admit. It was the sole reason that I was able to take myself out of the horrible dark valley that I was in for so many years.
How long do you think you were depressed, if I may ask?
Well, when you're in it,
yeah,
you don't really notice it, right? So it's not like I was like, man, I've been depressed for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's time to turn my life around. You get to a point where you forget what it was like
to not be
when
like
you were
that.
Happy.
Yeah.
And you know, you find ways to cope. I don't think I was outwardly depressed to everyone. I think I did a pretty good job of presenting myself in a happy way. But if I sat down and really thought about it, I think I was probably depressed for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Like consistently depressed.
Which also comes with exhaustion, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. And it all piles on. I mean, we were talking about it last hour, the neural pathways of thinking positively. I was in a place in my life where it seemed like everything was against me, whether that was factual or not. That's what I was telling myself
in my
head.
That's how you were processing it. Yep.
And whether it's true or not, if you keep telling yourself that, eventually you will believe it. And if it was not for that one drunken night when I signed up for Planet Fitness and woke up and had the email and said, I better go to the gym.
You're like, all right, I'm going to go.
It never would have turned around because I would have just stayed in that dark, dark space.
Before we go to break, we have some breaking news from FIFA World Cup 26 Kansas City. Due to today's ongoing adverse weather, FIFA Fan Fest Kansas City will not reopen today. The safety of the public, staff, volunteers, and entertainers remains our top priority. Connect KC 26 bus service will continue to operate unless weather conditions make it unsafe to operate. And this is from the official FIFA World Cup 26 Kansas City Twitter account. Event is now closed. That does not mean the game is off, but the fan fest for the rest of today is closed. We'll be back with much more on Dana and Parks. Couple of stories looking to pass on, not necessarily make these topics. Thank God the officer's okay. But a few minutes ago from Channel 9, a man with a rifle opened fire on a Kansas City Police Department motorcycle officer this afternoon. The officer returned fire. Listen to this. The Missouri State Highway Patrol has been called in to investigate a shooting involving a Kansas City police officer. They were called to the area near 27th and Jackson around 1:40 this afternoon, right before we went on the air. Officials with the Missouri State Highway Patrol say witnesses told troopers, and there were multiple witnesses, this was in broad daylight, folks, that some idiot with a rifle opened fire on the Kansas motorcycle officer while the officer was just stopped at a stop sign. He was just riding in traffic on his motorcycle, doing his job.
For no reason whatsoever.
Stopped at a stop sign. Troopers say the officer was able to get off the motorcycle and return fire. The suspect then ran into a nearby wooded area. The responding officers were there very quickly. They saw the suspect run into the woods. They took him into custody without incident. Neither the officer nor the suspect was injured. And quoting here from Sergeant Justin Ewing with the Missouri State Highway Patrol, he says, these are rare events. We are just thankful no one was injured. What makes it more unusual is that, like I said, this was in broad daylight with multiple witnesses, and it happened without any communication. Nothing happened between the officer or the suspect. The suspect literally just opened fire on the officer. Thank God that officer is okay. Unbelievable. And then our idiot criminal of the day, number two. Well, a second man.
Way more than number two.
Accused of robbing a Missouri casino was arrested late yesterday afternoon, according to the FBI. We first told you about this story when Dingaling number one was arrested. But yesterday, Hollis Van Leer Jr., that's Dingaling number two, was arrested in Bloomington, Illinois. After Fox 4 reported he had ties to Illinois earlier this month. That report followed an FBI reward of $5,000 for information leading to his arrest. Before that, he was charged with first-degree robbery, armed criminal action, and first-degree assault in Cooper County. Benjamin Michael Das Charles, a casino employee of Columbia, Missouri, was arrested back in March.
Ooh.
Following a robbery at the Isle of Capri Casino in Boonville. They are now saying these two were alleged co-conspirators. So listen
inside
to this.
Inside job.
Inside job. Well, or at least inside job to the point that they would have more than a common, you know, patron understanding yeah. of how a casino works. Records show that during the robbery, these two masked suspects entered the casino, one armed with a handgun, the other with a rifle. They jumped up on the cage desk to the casino near the vault like they were in a Hollywood movie near the back of the building, and they stole. Are you waiting for this? Usually with these robberies, even with a bank, your take is like $4,000. It's not worth it. You're going to go to prison. You're probably going to get shot or both. Did you see what they took, Sam? It's insane.
What'd they get?
$1,276,000.
Woo!
Here's the part I want to talk about with all of you. The Missouri State Highway Patrol reports that while leaving, one of the suspects was tackled by a casino visitor and a fight, quote, was initiated. The other suspect then struck the patron multiple times and the pair was able to escape. In what world are you sitting there gambling at a casino? You got a drink in one hand, probably a cigarette in the other. You're doing the slot machine deal. I don't judge. I love to gamble. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. And these two yahoos jump up on the counter, give me all the money, and you decide to, quote, initiate a fight on the way out. First of all, I'm not saying it's okay to rob a casino. I think it's one of the dumbest places you could possibly rob.
Yeah.
If they make it to trial, I have a feeling like that's just not a good place to rob, Sam, if you know
what
I'm saying.
How did they carry out 1.2 mil?
You know what I'm saying? Not a good place to rob.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
A lot of cameras.
Like, a lot of cameras. And also, you know, sometimes people, you know, with ties to, like, the underground, you know, communities that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, what communities might
saying,
we be referencing?
I'm just saying. In the movies, you don't mess with the casino money because, you know.
You might end up in Lake Mead. Is that what you're saying?
Prison might be the best option for you, right?
Yeah.
Would you step in during an armed robbery? Really not even at a casino. Would you step in anywhere? Oh, my God. That person is so lucky they were not shot and killed.
I'd like to think I would step in.
Sam, no.
For the sake of doing the right thing.
No. I'm going to be your mother here. You do not step in during an armed robbery at a casino. Whether you work there or not, that is the quickest way to get killed. And I'm also going to be honest. I'm not saying it's okay to rob a casino. But casinos have like bajillions of dollars. It's not okay to rob.
No,
it's not okay to rob the casino. But it's not like they struck an old woman in the head and stole $1 million from the old woman.
Right. Or punched a bartender in the face like the story that I have.
Un- Unbelievable.
I didn't punch a bartender in the face. I was at a bar when a bartender got punched in the face and a random guy chased down the puncher and tackled him. It was epic.
Oh my gosh. By the way, 80% chance of thunderstorms at 5 p.m., 80% chance of thunderstorms at 7 p.m., 80% chance at 9 p.m., 11 p.m., and 1 a.m. from Neville Miller just now on your first alert hourly planner.
It's going to rain forever.
Not looking great.
Fox 4 did put out an update recently saying fans are being let in to Kansas City Stadium. There's a big message up on the Jumbotron that reads, "The weather threat has cleared. Fans may now take their seats."
Okay. They're letting people in.
Or a video of fans just absolutely storming down the tunnels.
Are they all wearing orange?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hope they get it in. I hope it's not delayed. And I hope everybody is safe. I truly do. It is my hope. I also hope you have a poncho. And then this story is just hilarious. Have you seen the photo? Police are looking for a purse thief who looks remarkably like Travis Kelce. Sam, I'm going to need you to pull up the photo live on the air because I want your reaction.
Oh, I've seen it.
They are warning that the thieves, quote, good looks, will not stop him from facing justice. This guy allegedly stole a purse out of someone else's car and then decided that the credit cards in the purse were now his to use, quote, willy-nilly, according to Salem police on Wednesday, sharing a picture of the bucket hat wearing bearded suspect leaving a Best Buy. By the way, when someone steals a credit card, why do they always go to Best Buy?
Travis Kelce wears bucket hats.
Guess what, pal, wrote the police department.
Travis Kelce has a beard.
You may look like Travis Kelce. And then they explained, tied in for the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't need to add that. Possibly his more well-known claim to fame, current fiance of Taylor Swift, but your good looks and cool sty aren't going to get you out of this one. And they are asking if you know who this individual is. And then they write, wait, are we sure this isn't Travis? And I'm going to tell you, it's pretty funny. Everyone has a doppelganger. He looks a lot like Travis Kelce.
This one's
however,
pretty loose.
No, let me tell you this. I think he's someone that wants to lean in to the fact that if you squint and he's wearing a bucket hat and you're in a bar, he wants people to think he looks like Travis Kelce.
Hey, ladies, I'm knockoff Travis Kelce.
It's like the guy in Kansas City that we talked to at one point, or his
almost
fiance.
Andy Reid.
No, almost Rod Stewart.
Oh.
Who really does. You know, he lived in Kansas City. I don't know if he still does. He really does look a lot like Rod Stewart, but he also leans into it. He's got the mop blonde, tousled. I mean, he has Rod Stewart's hair. And I'm pretty sure at one point he was going around wearing like leopard pants. So he looks like it, but he's also leaning into it. And I have a feeling this bozo is too.
I don't know. You said it was in Salem, right? That's pretty close to New York. They've been spending a lot of time in New York.
Yeah, I don't know that Travis Kelce needs to be stealing purses in New York.
Hopped over to Salem, stole a
purse. Probably not what's happening. 913-586-7798. We are back with much more on Dana and Park. Stick with us. Oh, so this is interesting, and it has really wide implications down the road for similar lawsuits. The Supreme Court today has sided with Monsanto in the case over the cancer risks from the weed killer Roundup. Listen to this. The Supreme Court today ruled that Monsanto cannot be held liable under state law for failing to warn consumers about the alleged cancer risks of its weed killer Roundup on its label. It was a 7-2 decision, and the high court found that a federal law regulating the sale and labeling of pesticide products bars lawsuits in state courts alleging that Monsanto failed to include a cancer warning on Roundup's labels. The EPA has deemed Roundup safe to use. This is the EPA. I know. They say it does not require a cancer warning on the label. The Supreme Court today reiterated that federal law requires Monsanto to use an EPA-approved label unless the EPA approves or requires a different label. One of the reasons I'm bringing this to your attention is that this company, let's just call it Roundup because Monsanto is confusing, has faced a tidal wave of litigation in, what, 10, 15 years?
The last 11 years, there's been more than 200,000 lawsuits filed against Roundup.
200,000 lawsuits.
And by the way, the company formerly Monsanto, and Monsanto are the folks who started
Bayer,
all of this, were purchased by Bayer in 2018.
So listen to this. Because I didn't know it was 200,000 lawsuits.
Yep.
Because of this ruling Thursday, that is now expected to block thousands of lawsuits from consumers who claim that the company failed to warn them that the product could cause cancer. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're out there digging in the dirt and you're not wearing gloves when you are working with weed-killing chemicals, mm-hmm. but we need to educate ourselves better and know better and do better. Like, right. I would not go near any of that without gloves on. We have a spray bottle. When we use it, the gloves come on. I would even take the gloves off, uh-huh. put them in the garage, don't use them for something else, like wash your hands 3 times. You know why, Sam? I don't trust the chemical components of those things right. that are legitimately made. They are created to kill other living plant things. Uh-huh. I don't trust it.
And our skin is an organ that absorbs poisonous chemicals, and we wonder how we end up with cancer after the fact.
The original case, by the way, that the Supreme Court ruled on today was brought in 2019 by a man named John Dornell, a gardener from Missouri.
He was the spray guy of his neighborhood's home association.
A gardener from Missouri. Does it say what town? Do you know, Sam?
St. Louis.
From St. Louis.
It was a historic neighborhood in St. Louis where he would go and spray all the different park areas with Roundup. And he got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And according to quite literally dozens of studies, glyphosate, Roundup, leads to cancer. He filed a lawsuit based on those grounds, and according to the Supreme Court, that does not matter because the EPA said it's safe.
Yeah, I think,
dozens of studies.
When you're dealing with chemicals like that, we all need to use an extreme amount of caution. You know, my grandpa years ago, Sam, did I tell you this? He died in a car wreck, but really from complications of COPD. It was a wreck that any of us would have survived. But he was so far gone with his COPD at the time, his body could not handle the trauma from what was really a minor car wreck. He was the one who laid the asbestos in the schools. He was like a superintendent, and he would lay all of the asbestos before we knew really what that was. And he never sued. He never, he was that World War II generation.
Yep.
Did not find out until many years later how devastating handling that insulation could be without masks and proper gear and all of those things. And so I think anytime you're dealing with anything like that that could cause harm, regardless of what a court says, you have to use extreme caution. He was on an oxygen tank the last 20 years of his life.
So one study they found about glyphosate and Roundup, 71% of counties that use the glyphosate are found to have higher rates of late-stage non-Hodgkin lymphoma. If you look at 500 counties for pesticide use, 60% of them have higher rates of cancer overall. And if you narrow that focus to the 20% of counties that use glyphosate within those 500 counties, they found that they found it to be true for nearly 75% of those counties.
That's a lot of numbers, Sam. Wear gloves.
Are in the upper Midwest.
Wear gloves.
Care to guess what percentage of our crop acres, even 11 years after these studies were published, because these studies were published in 2015, care mm-hmm. to guess what percentage of our crop acres still use glyphosate?
Probably all of them.
86%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's our food, by the way.
I know.
You okay? We're eating that.
You okay in there?
It gets put into our food. Yep. And then they say, well, if you rinse it off in the sink, it'll be okay, as if it doesn't absorb into the apples.
Sam, you okay? You okay
or the corn.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Or the peas.
We're going to move on. Why young men die younger than women and the tough guy paradox that drives doctors nuts as we go to break. Call your doctor, men. Call your doctor. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. Call your doctor. Women live longer than men all over the world. In the United States, men, you live around 76 years, while women, we live until 81. That's 4 to 5 years. Experts have been watching this trend for decades. Even as infectious diseases have plummeted, other lethal health conditions like heart disease have affected men more than women. Why? There used to be a belief that, guys, you died earlier but were generally healthier before your death. Women disproportionately have more non-lethal chronic conditions like arthritis, depression. But researchers found this is not the case. It has more to do with a man's pervasive, lifelong social and behavioral differences between the men and the women. It is both biology and behavior. So while men, you have biological vulnerabilities, the bigger problem is you practice what we call reactive medicine, waiting until something is obviously wrong before you call the doctor. This is your reminder. 72% of men, rather, in a study, say they would rather do chores like cleaning the bathroom than go to the doctor because you all are so anxious about going to the doctor. I knew someone who said, well, I'm not going to the doctor. They're only going to tell me something bad. Make your doctor appointment, men, for the love. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.